You're listening to the Ape for Comics podcast, sponsored by StashMyComics.com and our local comic book shop in Roanoke, Virginia, BNDComics.com. And now, here's your hosts, Matt Barrett and Neil Rickman.
You're listening to the Ape for Comics podcast. That's what this is. Episode 9. And we're starting off the new year with a brand new show. Hopefully you guys had a good holidays and a good new year. And now, what are we improving on this year, Neil? What is our goal?
It's on like Donkey Kong here at Ape for Comics podcast, because we are ramping up doing a show once a week now. We're actually going to try to get this on a weekly flow.
Yep.
So that you folks aren't lonely out there in your comic thoughts. Or maybe this is torture and you just love, you know,
torturing yourself.
What is that? Is it? Never mind. This is a family show. We're not going into what that is. Go ahead. I don't know.
So we're here and we're going to talk about comics, just like we have always been doing. We will continue to do the comic swap where we trade books. But this week, we've got a lot of stuff built up. Neil's got a lot of emotional things going on with his comic book reading.
That like Nancy Kerrigan.
We've been talking about this stuff, and we've been like, well, we need to talk about this on the show and this on the show. And so I said, let's just do it in 9. We get everything out of our system. Then we can go get kind of back to a normal show.
How bad did I just date myself with, I feel like, Nancy Kerrigan? Why?
Why did you whack somebody? Did you get whacked in the knee?
Basically.
Ah. You'll have to look that up. If you're really young, look that up. But anyhow, so instead of comic swap, we're going to do comic talk. And that's where Neil and I are going to discuss a few books that have been on our minds lately here that him and I, over the last few weeks, have been saying, we got to talk about this. No, let's talk about this. So we're going to talk about them all.
Yeah, the holidays has been killing it. I've wanted to talk about all this on the show, and yeah. I just kind of caught you and talked here and there.
So we'll get caught up that way. And then for the special feature, we're going to talk about Marvel drama, because there's a bunch of drama going on. So sorry if you don't like Marvel. This is going to be a pretty Marvel-heavy show. We will get into some other stuff next episode, I promise. Even I am starting to be excited about some DC books.
Well, that's one thing that we do need to mention in the drama is okay. A little bit of the Simone drama.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Okay, so this won't be exclusively Marvel. I was wrong. I forgot about the
game. Well, it just hit my mind. It wasn't like I planned that. It was like a bolt of lightning.
Yeah.
Now I'm Cap Marvel. I'm all grown up. Oh, yay. Now I'm a kid again.
Well, let's go right on into comic talk.
Or Shazam. They call him Shazam now.
Shazam.
It's horrible.
Well, it's too we discussed this before. It's too confusing to be Captain Marvel.
It's true.
Yeah. Okay, Uncanny X-Force, number 35, final issue, came out. Thoughts?
I like it.
I don't like it, but you will.
I love it. it's a great send-off. You pretty much get to, you get a final dose of each character in a very, I thought, a pretty personal way. You really got a sense of everyone waving to you. It's almost like if you were looking at the TV and they're all waving and it pans out.
Right. Let's face it. I mean, if you've been reading this, the last few issues have been pretty dark and heart-wrenching and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. It's nice every once in a while to get an issue like this that you don't feel tense over. You're just reading it and you're soaking it in, saying bye to everybody in this group. The group saying goodbye to each other.
It's,
you know,
it's really hard to get a sense of closure out of a book, and Remender does a fantastic job.
Yep.
Of basically sending everyone off. And if you never pick this title up and you're hearing this, I mean, I kind of envy you, because you're going to be able to soon read through all of these. And from beginning to end, it was a pretty fantastic ride. There's only a little, for me, there was only a little slouch, and it had to do with the other world, whatever world Captain Britain's in, whatever that whole arc was happening. That was a little weird. That was the only drop in anything I wasn't interested in, but it wasn't even that bad. Like, it was still beating most titles even then.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't, I was out, I was not reading this during the Captain Britain stuff, so I was a little bit confused, but for the most part, I'll go back and and read that and get caught up.
But yeah.
So we've gushed about this book. You all know it's good. You probably heard from other people it's good. If you haven't read it, pick it up from the beginning. You got 35 great issues.
He knows each of these characters. You can tell he is very intimately involved with each of these characters, which, yep. You know, I mean, the man has a talent for that. And sad to say, I can't follow him into his other title, but we'll cover that later.
Yeah. Next on the list I've got here, Thunderbolts. Now, this is number 2. I haven't read 3 yet. Heard it was terrible. I liked 2 well enough, though, that I can't quite believe that it's that terrible.
Right. 2 was pitched as pretty terrible. And 2, to me, while some folks were giving it, you know, below average scores, 2 to me was still above par for some of the comics that are out there. Because I'm currently, I'm going to admit some shame here. I'm currently reading Green Arrow before Jeff Lemire takes over. And that book.
Sorry for you.
Is that you compare that to that?
I shouldn't say that.
And it's just not good.
It's not very good.
It's not good. I'm not going to rate it. I'm just going to say it's not good.
I don't like young Green Arrow anyways. I prefer old crusty Ollie.
Waxed my mustache and I'm ready to shoot arrows.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
So back to Thunderbolts. I don't have any problems with it, but I'm ready for it to sort of get good here. And I'm going to give it a couple more issues, but if it continues to go downhill,
you're a bit more generous than me because you said you're willing to give it 6.
Yeah, 6 would be my limit because I like to have, you know, anytime you have a collection of books, it's nice to have what would essentially equal a first trade, and usually that's what, 6 or 7 books.
Right. So essentially,
it's a nice place to stop.
For folks who don't know, Thunderbolts is basically a book now where the Red Hulk, Thunderbolt Ross, has pulled together all these militant people. Was it Venom? You got Deadpool, Elektra. Punisher, anybody that's really gonna think about killing someone or just doing it, and that should be a great combo. But what we're finding is that he's concentrating a lot. I feel like on Thunderbolt Ross,
right,
and the rest of the folks are just kind of having scenes within the book that don't really do much to let you walk in the character's shoes. You're just seeing some action, which is great.
Right.
It's almost like watching The Expendables now that I think about it.
Yeah.
You're not watching that for the plot so much as you're watching it for explosive action. Well, that's got, so far it's had, you know, not as much of that as you would think, but still it's kind of what it's about.
Right.
Aside from Thunderbolt Ross.
I was excited to learn a little bit about Elektra because I don't know much about her and I haven't gotten anything from this book.
Yeah.
That's what's been disappointing for me, and I hope we get a little more one-on-one with some of these people. It's pretty much been the Red Hulk show,
yeah,
which is fine. I mean, he's running the thing, and I don't know.
If this hasn't warmed up by issue 4 for me, because 3 I already know is going to be a little bit more of a draw-in,
right.
And then I'll read 4, and at that point I'll be like, I'll either say, well, this or that, because there's so many good books out there right now.
Yeah.
That one that's just above average, like this one, isn't really going to stay on my list.
Yeah, even for $2.99. So, but I'm going to give it a fair chance. I'm going to read 3. If 3's terrible, I will give it till 6 issues. Darn it.
On the other hand, what have you been thinking about FF? And by that, I don't mean Fantastic Four, but its
right.
sister title,
the
FF. Yeah.
I like it. I really like it, and
do you feel like there's magic happening there? This is something, I'm reading that title, I'm feeling, and this could just be me, but I feel like it's somewhat of a legendary run, and I don't know why I feel that way per se, except for that it's just,
I think it's the perfect marriage for Fraction to be working with Allred. I know a lot of people are hit or miss on Allred stuff, but I think he was born to draw this type of quirky, fun teen book. Every time I read it, there's a part of it that seems very modern and up-to-date, and then there's another part of it that feels like I'm reading something from the 80s or something, you know? And it brings me back to my childhood, almost.
And so, to break down for folks who don't know, FF is basically a replacement Fantastic Four at this point, taking over for the Fantastic Four. It was supposed to be for, what, 4 minutes or something?
Yeah. And then all heck breaks loose. The 4 minutes passes, and
yeah,
and Fantastic Four does not come back.
Yeah, it's a big surprise.
Yeah,
with a short comic run,
right?
But it's also dealing with the Future Foundation, which is the brightest minds and youths, all kinds of alien races and mutants, and the Fantastic Four's children.
Yeah,
one of the Power Pack. They're all in this really. It's kind of like the Breakfast Club for genius kids,
yeah,
in a way. And then there's the replacement Fantastic Four, including Scott Lang, the one of the Ant-Men that has replaced, help me with the name here.
Pym?
Yeah, Hank Pym, sorry. Helped replace with Hank Pym. He's there, and I like that character a lot. I've warmed up to him a lot in just a few issues. Why he has a record and you know, that he's a changed man now. You know, he's all about doing some good with his given talent. So.
Right. And the girl with the pink hair, it has become interesting to me. And for those of you who don't know, when the Fantastic Four had to leave and go on their journey with their kids, and the underlying reason there is their powers, they're dying, basically. Their powers are diminishing, and Reed's taking them into an alternate universe to fix those powers. Enter this group of Fantastic Four that's supposed to watch the place. But everybody picks one person to take their place. Thing picks She-Hulk. Richards picks Ant-Man, this version of Ant-Man.
Yeah, this is Scott Lang Ant-Man, not the Hank Pym, yeah.
And then Sue chooses Medusa. And then Johnny goes off and chooses some pop star that he's been dating. Because it's just supposed to be for 4 minutes.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 4 minutes.
And this isn't working out so well.
I don't. She doesn't. I'm under the impression she doesn't have any powers other than
no. She doesn't.
The she thing suit. That's
been the problem, is that she does not have any powers. She's way out of her element, and this emergency happens. Mole Man shows up. Everybody else springs into action. She doesn't know what to do, so she dons the thing suit that was Dragon Man shows her where the thing suit is. She puts that on.
He's been a lot of fun. Matt Fraction, for me, has been hit or miss. I'm loving him on this title. Now, on the Fantastic Four main, it's taking me a little bit to warm up to, but it is warming up.
It's a little different, and I think that goes back to the art. I think Allred's art plays to the strengths of Matt Fraction's writing, which is quirky and it is strange.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just... The art, I started reading FF back when it was coming out with Hickman.
Right.
And it seemed like at that point, it was like, the story was good, because Hickman does great on Fantastic Four, but the art was really weird with the kids. Like, I don't think a lot of people can do kids and capture the spirit.
Yeah.
I think Matt Fraction's really good at writing kid dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting in its own self right, I guess.
Right.
But also, Allred is really good at capturing that as well, like with his art.
Yeah.
So that's working hand in hand very well on a title.
Yep. So yeah, FF, another book we're really enjoying, along with Fantastic Four. I think that one's going to ramp up too. We've talked about All New X-Men quite a bit, and that continues to be a title that's at the top of my pull list.
It's good. We'll get into some issues I have with it.
Yeah.
I love it. I'll never stop it. It's not... I'm passionate about the book.
Right.
That says that I love it, but there's things that I think maybe shouldn't be.
Right. It's fair to also to mention that I have decided to pick up a DC book again, and I'm going with Justice League because, to me, that's a book that seems pretty solid, and I can get Superman and Wonder Woman and Aquaman. I can get everybody in one shot. And still feel like I kind of know.
Shazam's the whole reason to pick that book up.
Yeah, the backstory is very good, though.
You're right. I mean, Justice League's not bad, but I stand by my quote that sticks with me. Shazam makes Justice League at this point look like Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
What?
It looks ridiculous in comparison to me.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's just got so much more heart and so much more of a story to tell than just. Okay, yeah, we know these are the real bad dudes and dudettes of DC up here
right.
Doing their thing. This actually has, you know, it's like, oh, it's crazy. This kid has got these powers now, and he wasn't that upstanding of a citizen to begin with, so
Now I'm behind on it, so I'm just up to issue 15. Are Flash and Green Lantern gone for some reason right now?
Green Lantern is.
Because he's dealing with the whole Third Army thing, right?
There's a lot more. Yeah.
Okay.
But also because there's just a whole, you know, not to spoil too much, but people that read Green Lantern know what's up. There's like this crazy car thief that's now Green Lantern in that title. And I forget exactly what happened to Jordan before. I actually dropped a lot of my Green Lantern titles except for Core, because I won't drop Gardner.
Right.
But I won't quit on him. It's weird. But, yeah, it was just a little quirky. And then New Guardians got to be too much of, like, Captain Planet.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew what it was doing when I picked the book up, and it was fine with it for a while, but then it just got too much.
And then, of course, Flash... Did you stop reading Flash?
I did. The art was, I liked it. The heart of the characters is not there.
I think he like lost his powers or something, to be honest with you. I read just a preview of it, and he looked pretty darn defeated and possibly dead. I don't know. Thanks to, what's his name?
And that book, Gorilla Grodd, you're talking about? Yeah.
So maybe that's why he's gone from Justice League. I don't know. Do they tie all those books in with Justice League to make it make sense?
They do, yes. Okay. They stuff that happens definitely has an effect around. They've been pretty good at tying that in with titles and having lineup changes because of what's happened. Except for Batman, because he never left, I don't think, except even when the Owls was going on, he was always there like, we're not leaving Batman now. So.
Batman can just do whatever he wants.
I don't know. I mean,
but I like the Aquaman story that's going on.
Yeah.
It seems pretty cool.
Oh, Aquachops.
Aquachops.
That's how he swims so fast, is chops.
Ah.
It's aerodynamic. He just glides through the water.
All right.
Chops will cut you, man.
Well, we've talked. Do you have any other books you want to mention?
Yes.
Okay. Mention those.
As I just look up, Avengers Arena has been getting some flack from people. And I'm going to tell you, that book I'm enjoying thoroughly. There's like a little Deathlok girl in that book that in issue 2 blew my mind. I really enjoy that book.
Cool.
They're calling her Deathlokette, which is, I don't know if I like that term, but
can't we just do Lady Deathlok?
Well, that would suck too. But she's an awesome character. And I don't know anybody that's given that book flack. I mean, I don't care if this idea of putting anybody, you know, kids on an island, whatever, and having them fight to the death is overplayed. I love it. Ever since Thunderdome or Running Man or, you know, or even Hunger Games, where you put people in an arena and let them fight it out, or they're forced to fight for their lives. I love it. And what that says about me, I don't know. And would I do well in that situation? Probably not. So,
oh.
I mean, but it's really interesting, and I really like all the teen characters I've seen from different books, and I think it's really strong. I can't see where anyone would fault that book, so I'm really freaked out by it when someone's like. Or if it's not doing strongly, or in the stuff I've read online about people talking about it, it hasn't gotten the greatest write-ups. But I've really, really liked it.
Well, when we do Comic Swap, I want to read it.
Okay.
We'll do that next one. I don't know what I'm going to give you, though, because you're pretty much reading everything I'm reading, I think.
Yeah, we're having a problem on the show. I'm pulling too many books.
And I've cut my list way down, and the list that I am pulling, you are reading. So maybe I'll go to the shop and pick up something completely random for you to read.
Well, you know.
Something you might hate.
You know. No. You could always just say, you've already read the book I was going to give you, so just do that one.
Yeah, true.
But then that defeats the purpose, I guess. I don't know.
Somewhat, yeah.
I don't know.
That doesn't make it special.
Wouldn't it be easy if we were like, one of us was a DC fanboy only and one of us was a Marvel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, well.
I can't do that.
I can't either. Not right now.
No.
All right. Well, that's some good comic talk. You guys did good.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. All right. So we'll move on to Marvel Drama. That's the special feature this week.
Oh, man.
One, two, three. StashMyComics.com is the leading free online interactive comic book database. Catalog your comics and track prices, character, and creator appearances. Follow the daily blog reviews, editorials, and a weekly podcast. Connect with other fans through member reviews and discussion forums. Keep abreast of site updates on Twitter at StashMyComics and find us on Facebook. StashMyComics.com, powered by Geek Energy.
Nailed it.
And there's a lot of Marvel drama going on.
Let me get my swear jar, because this is going to be bad.
Yeah, I don't want to have to bleep stuff out.
I know.
All right, let's start off with the elephant in the room, which is Cyclops being treated like dirt by everybody in the Marvel Universe. Not just present Cyclops, but past Cyclops as well.
I'm pretty ticked off about this situation for lots of reasons. One of being I'm on Cyclops' side.
Right.
How dare them make me be on his side?
I think they've made a lot of people on his side.
No,
are there people that still hate him even after this?
Here's the thing.
Like, a lot?
If you read those letter columns in the back of All New X-Men, a lot of people are like, yeah, I can't, you know, like, Scott sounds like so much like Magneto and this and that, and a lot of people. And I'm like, really? Really, people? Where are you coming from?
Yeah.
Because it's a totally different scenario. The world has changed a lot since old Michael Fassbender's Magneto was rocking it in the 60s. All right. A lot has changed from that, let's put the mutants on top, to Cyclops's, let's not put the mutants on top, let's survive.
Yeah.
And if we've got to fight our way out, so be it.
Yeah.
And since when did Wolverine go, we're not going to fight our way out, we're going to run?
Yeah. They've switched places.
And I'm having problems with this too, because they did about the same thing with Civil War. Remember, Captain America was against the government in Civil War, and Tony Stark was all for it.
Right.
Yeah, right. I mean, and I liked Civil War as a crossover, which is odd. And I'm not hating on these, because I'm loving it because of the passion it's driving in me and the high drama. But the only people standing by Cyclops after, okay, Avengers versus X-Men, in which he was right, in my opinion, because before they ever got to test the fact of whether Hope was supposed to embrace the Phoenix or not, Tony Stark stepped in, him and Hank Pym made a device, which basically did some hoodoo to the Phoenix Force, split it into five,
right,
and it went into the five X-Men, which then, okay, there's the big problem, they got corrupted by the Phoenix.
Right.
Through no fault of their own at that point.
Yeah.
And okay, they went off the rails.
That's been swept under the rug.
Yeah.
For sure.
They went off the rails because absolute power corrupts absolutely. Dur. And Charles Xavier, while trying to be a martyr, became a martyr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and at the end of it, what happened? Hope actually took over the Phoenix, and with the Scarlet Witch's help to some degree here.
Yeah.
Whatever, they're trying to redeem her, even though she's the whole reason Scott went down this path, and she's still on an Avengers team.
Yeah.
They wish the Phoenix away or whatever, and mutants started being born again immediately,
yeah,
manifesting in teenagers or whatnot.
And so really, the only complaint here seems to be that, and don't get me wrong, this isn't a minor thing, but the main thing is here, Scott, because of you, Professor X is dead. I mean, and everything else is forgotten about. Now, I'm not saying that it's not a big deal, but there needs to be taken more ownership on everybody else that they helped to cause this, and that Scott wasn't even in his right mind to begin with.
I totally agree that, okay, he did kill him. I don't care what he was under the influence of. Sure, answer for his crimes. That being said, we're locking Wolverine up for all the...
Lock them all up.
What number of Matt's like, lock them all up. But I mean,
they've all done stuff.
But I mean, look at Wolverine's kill count has got to be triple, quad digits, something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I mean, oh well, they weren't Professor X, so it didn't count. Wanda causes all this, and I don't care what she did to make up for it, because obviously I don't care what Scott's done to try and correct the ship.
Can't she wish Professor X to be alive again?
Oh, couldn't she? You know,
if she's that powerful.
And that's my problem with it. I can't follow Reminder. I'm pissed because I can't follow him because I'm mad at most of the Avengers, including Scarlet Witch and Captain America. And I'm mad at fictional characters at this point, which tells me they're doing their job at Marvel to a degree.
What about Rogue? How's she been in that book?
Yeah, she's all right. I mean, I've never been a big Rogue fan, so that's just me. I mean, I don't know. I'll take that back. I've just never... It's not that I'm not a fan. It's just that I've never really took interest in the character.
Well, I think this all has a... Obviously, it all has a purpose. And I think we're going to see Scott continue to go down, well, a look, dark path. And this is pushing him towards that.
All of his X-Men, like, hero friends took off. And he was left with Magique, Magneto, Emma Frost, and, like...
and a couple new mutants.
Oh, okay. And then, okay, we get to all new X-Men, where Hank McCoy decides he's going to fix it by bringing the teenagers up. He's not going to go back and stop Wanda, like you had mentioned. He's not going to go back and stop that from happening. So, because, you know, honestly,
right,
Scott would not be where he's at now. I know he wouldn't if that had not happened.
Right.
He's not going to go back and try to prevent that. He's going to go back and bring the teenagers here to be like, look what you did.
Shame on you.
You shouldn't Scott. Do this when you get to that point again.
Right. You shouldn't save the mutant race.
There's no way possible that this can't end in some kind of bizarro Back to the Future mind trip that I'm dreading, because I'm loving the writing right now. And I'm actually liking the characterizations right pretty good, except for the fact that no one's on Scott's side, which I have trouble believing.
Yeah. Even Magneto sort of is angry because his powers aren't the same because of Scott. And Emma's mad too.
They're all mad. Yeah, it's all his fault. And I did not like him growing up. I've never been a huge Cyclops fan. He's always been stern. He has bossy because he is the leader, whatever. And I'm like, I've always thought, man, there's a tool, you know? But now I find myself going, wait a minute. Even if I don't like someone, that's something about me. Like, I will be like, credit where credit's due.
Right.
He was driven to this. What did you all suggest? Oh, dumb things. Like, and you didn't even suggest him that hard. You were just like going to let him do this until you were like, you're wrong.
I think we're going to see a big change over here in the next issue. Because Uncanny X-Men is coming out. And if you guys have seen the cover to that, Cyclops got a new look. Emma Frost got a new look. She's going in black or something. And Magneto's got a crazy looking helmet. So something has to happen to pretty quickly, unless these books are operating separately from each other. I don't think Bendis would do that.
And this is
you?
I don't think so.
So something drastic might be happening next issue. I'm excited.
I don't know what they're trying to make him a villain, and I don't think it's right, because he shouldn't have to be a villain.
He shouldn't.
Like, it makes me feel like I'm evil now because I'm on his side. I'm like, really?
No, but they're not doing evil things. They're trying to help the New Mutants.
Well, they're calling him, like, all the fans I see right now are calling him, this will be great, turn him a villain. Like, really? Oh, he's, I'm like, no.
He's not doing any villainous things.
Yeah, but that's what they're going to, eventually he will, because whatever. Because that's going to be popular want.
To me, it just looks like he's doing what they were going to do before all this happened, and that is help mutants out, and he's doing it in his own way, while Wolverine, gosh, it's so weird that Wolverine's like the big top dog over at that school.
It's weird, but here's the thing. There's different shades of Wolverine, and that's bothering me. It used to be you had to worry about Wolverine being in too many titles. You still have to worry about that now, but not only do you have to worry about that, you've got to worry about which Wolverine you're getting. Are you getting Sensitive Wolverine? Are you getting Killer Wolverine?
Yeah.
Are you getting Wolverine that hates Scott because he's a killer? Do you get Wolverine that hates Scott because he's a killer, so he threatens teenage Scott? Yeah, put that in your mind.
Are you getting jealous of Jean Grey Wolverine? That's still an issue with those two, and it's kind of like, get over it, Wolverine, already.
Can no one point at the fact that, okay, Wolverine was an old man that was trying to pick up this kid to him, basically his girlfriend.
Yeah.
No, that's not bad at all.
He's a creepy old man.
He's creepy. I really like Wolverine the X-Men, so I'm jaded there. I kind of like the Wolverine I get there.
Yeah, I like that
Wolverine. The Wolverine I get in these other books is just like, really?
Yeah.
He's a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm going to use a Jericho word, sycophant.
Let's...
I don't even know if that fits. I just had to say it.
Well, let's segue into another topic of discussion here with Creepy Old Man, okay?
Okay.
You know where I'm going, right? Creepy Old Man. Who's a creepy old man now that is taking over the mind of one of the most popular Marvel characters?
Spider-Man hasn't been through enough
superior
write-up heck. I'm going to censor that for you. So we're going to go ahead and take it one step further and do it. We're going to do face-off in the Marvel Universe using Doc Ock and Spider-Man.
And you know what? I told you I was going to pick up Superior Spider-Man at lunch. I couldn't do it.
No.
Not $4 for a digital. But
it was $4. Yeah. Is it because it's a day of release or something like that?
Yeah.
But
from what I read, it does get creepy. Like Dr. Octopus getting with Mary Jane is creepy.
That's all we needed. I think Joe Q's got a crush on Mary Jane, and in order to imagine himself having a chance, he put himself in Spider-Man's body. He was like, no, get with Mary Jane. I think it's all him cosplaying at this point or fantasizing.
Apparently, there was a fight scene, and he took out the bad guys as Spider-Man and then left midway through because he didn't want to get punched. I mean, it's this type of thing that's going on. And then he looks at Mary Jane, and he's ogling her, which is creepy. And
so
I don't know
bad.
That I want to read that.
It's so bad because Spider-Man's one of those characters that already had heat. He was already, you know, J. Jonah Jameson had done his thing in the past where he was like, he's a menace. And he's always been viewed as a, you know, either you love, like certain people loved him, certain people hated him. And now it just seems like it's going to help the hate cause that much more because he's going to just do really stupid Doc Ock attitude-y things. All of his hero friends are going to wonder what's up. I'm probably going to have to drop one of my favorite titles from 2012, Avenging Spider-Man, because I won't be able to take it, and they are pulling it in through that, which they shouldn't have.
What's ridiculous to me is we've just did this not too long ago with Ultimate Spider-Man. That's the book that you do that in. You don't do that in the main Spider-Man book when you have another movie coming out.
Right. Can we pause a minute and give folks the lowdown? Okay, so we're already full on spoiler here.
Yeah.
And just say that, okay, from what I gather, and correct me if I'm wrong, Doc Ock was pulling a stunt that was going to do some kind of damage. See, I didn't read. I just read Avenging Spider-Man, which kind of broke it down for me.
Right.
And he was pulling some stunt, so Peter swapped minds with him while he was in Doc Ock's body. That he died because Doc Ock was dying, and then Doc Ock's mind was in his body, so now Doc Ock is Spider-Man.
Right.
Well,
and he has all his memories.
His mind is inside of, you know, Peter's head along with all of Peter's memories.
Right. He has all his memories, which...
Great.
Makes it kind of weird.
Here's the real crime. I love Spider-Man, and Doc Ock was definitely, if not my favorite Spider-Man villain, he was up there. You know, he was very close to being my favorite. I kind of like old school Venom. I kind of like Sandman. You know, he's got some great villains, but Doc Ock was great, and now they've just made it into, I don't know how you go back from this and bring me Doc Ock back and Spider-Man.
I'm upset.
I know they'll do some, like, oh, he makes a deal with the devil again or some stupid.
I didn't want to be upset about comic book numbering, but now I'm upset because not only did DC get rid of the numbering on Action Comics and... What was it? Detective Comics, which I know they had to do a whole reboot, but I really thought they should have hung on to those two. And now I really thought that Fantastic Four numbering should have stuck, which they've already screwed up once. And
awful.
Amazing Spider-Man. I mean, why wouldn't you want to go to an issue 1,000? That would be tremendous.
They will. They always bring it back when it suits them for, like, because when it's like that epic number, they're like, oh, it's going to draw the money.
I hate that they do. They can do that, but I don't like it, and they don't care about me, and they don't care about ticking everybody else off. But I think it just hurts. Can't you just have two titles that just keep going?
Yeah,
reboot everything else.
I'll say this: while I feel like what's going on with X-Men is great, because I might not be happy with some of the choices characters are making, but I'm passionate about it.
Right.
On the other side of that is the Spider-Man topic, and I just think it all comes down to okay, it's well written, the dialogue's good, the art, you're getting your top, you know, you're getting some good art talent on this book, but does that make up for betraying a total betrayal of a character's life?
Yeah,
you know, one of your maybe most classic characters, maybe you're, I mean, wouldn't you say, when you think Marvel, is Spider-Man kind of what pops in your head?
Spider-Man and Hulk.
Yeah.
Every time that pops into my head.
So.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. It would be an okay idea as part of a storyline for like a few issues, but the fact that they ended Amazing Spider-Man and started a brand new title with Dr. Octopus as Spider-Man is ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
I don't see the benefit. Except a mention in the news about Spider-Man's dying again.
So to jump off that train, DC's big faux pas with Gail Simone. I'm sure everybody's heard about that by now.
Yeah. And if you didn't, Gail Simone was fired via, was it email?
By email.
By her editor from Batgirl. And then everybody made a big stink about it. And like a week later, she was hired back.
So. And here's my problem with that. Here's my huge problem with that. Okay, they corrected the mistake. Yay. Do they ever take time to consider the numbers and what it does to a comic retailer? No, of course they don't. But,
right. But
you know, I was one of the people that dropped it when I heard that. And then I signed back up for it. That's a lot of shifting the numbers. And even if the book numbers don't change from that, that's man hours from someone who has to deal with the ordering.
Right.
You know, and I'm giving a shout out to Terry Confidence in the back of B&D on this one, because she always has to adjust these numbers. It's heck when everybody shifts like this. You have to go back, and you know, it's your job, but it's, you're at the whim of a publisher and the choices they're carelessly making.
Yeah. And it was reason. Careless because if you look at the numbers, she was up there. Batgirl was making them money. And if you're talking about a big company and bottom lines, they would have said to the editor, you know what? I don't care if you're having problems with Gail. She's selling books. You're off. I'm going to put another editor in your spot. But that didn't happen. The editor goes all off and is like, no, Gail, you're fired. And I'm thinking that editor is probably removed at this point. I haven't heard anything like that, but I would assume they wouldn't put her with the same editor that fired her.
Yeah. And that's when ridiculous. I say adjusting numbers, I mean like numbers of issues ordered.
Yeah.
And I did not envy her at any point having to deal with those numbers, because there's been a lot of that. You know, the retailer suffers for decisions these companies make, and I think they should be held accountable to some point, because I know they're doing this digital push, but to me, I'm always going to prefer a book in my hand. That's me. I'm old, whatever. Digital's cool. I do it for stuff that's out of print, and I just can't get any other way, or it's going to be way too much money.
Right.
But, those shops, I mean, they are your lifeline, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, coming from B&D, these people push these books, and if they start not trusting the publisher, it makes it so hard on them to keep on doing what they're doing, to keep making it. It's just one hand washes the other. I don't get what they're doing at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's back on the book, and
which I'm tickled about, but I'm a little jaded.
To her credit, she didn't go off in bad mouth like a number of other people have done. She showed class. People were sending hate mail, and she's like, don't do that. It's all good.
You know? I haven't sent any hate mail. I did send some letters to the all-new X-Men team.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, they weren't hateful at all. It was basically thanking them for making me passionate, but I did want to point out that this is a little too one-sided, and I'm hoping to get both views here shown, but who knows.
Well, let's hope that DC does not make that mistake again. I don't think they will. You're shaking your head.
They're going to make a mistake. I mean, I don't know.
I wonder what their numbers are.
Not with Simone. It'll be like with Jeff Lemire or Scott Snyder next time.
Yeah, they don't want to. They're down writer. In my opinion, Marvel has more top tier writers than DC right now. And DC's got to be careful and keep those people happy. You don't want to lose a Scott Snyder or even a Gail Simone to Marvel. You don't want that. Keep them happy. Give Gail back Secret Six.
I liked an idea.
Why isn't she writing two books?
I liked an idea I read someone had. I was reading them when all this drama was going on with her. Of give Gail Simone a book with all the Flash's rogues.
Yeah.
Because that was part of my beef with The Flash, and I hung on and hung on to that title, just hoping that eventually the heart would go back into it. Mm. It kind of feels hollow. Everything, and I think it's because The Flash, if you look at it, oddly enough, has went through the fastest runs and changes and renumberings out of any of the DC. Maybe not Green Arrow. Green Arrow's went through some heck, too, but... You know, I think they're correcting that. I'm hoping they'll correct Flash soon. So,
I think it's a shame that Gail only writes one book. Yeah. There's so many books that could use her help. She would be great on Flash, for example.
Yeah.
Let Francis Manapul just draw. I mean, heck, before he got to write it, it was him and Geoff Johns, and it was a really good book.
It was good. It still wasn't.
It was fantastic, but I think it's hard to make a good Flash book. I really do. It's such a... odd character. Well, you run really fast.
I won't argue with that, but daggone it. he's the guy I like in the Justice League. Why they got to keep dipping out on him? Aquaman's good right now. Come on. Jeez.
That's always going to be the problem. He just runs really fast, and Aquaman just handles water, and it's hard.
Yeah, but Aquaman's good right now.
It is.
Aquaman's like,
I like
excellent.
Aquaman.
And then they're like, well, Flash has kind of got some stuff going on. He's getting beat up every other issue, and we really don't care if he's getting beaten up because there's no heart here. I don't know. They changed Captain Cold, and I'm not happy. I've mentioned that before, and I just...
They've changed too much.
Yeah, they did. They changed too much of that title. I was like,
They've changed too much for everything, and that's a big reason why stuff started to drop for me, because I didn't like the changes. Everyone, I was okay with some of the new costumes. I don't like a lot of the de-aging that's going on. I don't like the fact that Barbara Gordon is Batgirl, but is also still Oracle, kind of. Like, she still hangs with Birds of Prey, and all that still happened, yet she just gets out of college, just moves out of her dad's house. Does that make sense to you?
No.
How old are these people? I don't like that some people age and some people don't, you know. I mean, how old is Green Arrow? 18 now? And yet his son is in Red Hood and the Outlaws book. How does he have a son?
Who knows?
His son should be like 5 years old.
I think it'd be a better book if he was.
Yes. And I'm not even reading Red Hood and the Outlaws. But if you made a 5-year old in that book with the bow and arrow, that'd be awesome.
That's one of those books that I'm tempted to catch up on and pick up. It depends. We'll see. If Thunderbolts doesn't do it for me, that might be something I look at as an option. But
I don't even know what's going on.
Or I might just
book.
Stop picking up books so that I can
at all.
No, not at all. But never that. But just so I can stop reading so much, so maybe we'll actually be able to swap comics. So that you pick up Reddit, I'll start telling you what to pick up.
All right, well, I like that idea. I like that challenge. Before we wrap up, next week, I want us each to pick a book from DC that we normally would not read and give it a shot. If you want to pick Red Hood and the Outlaws, that's fine.
Well, I would normally read that.
I know, but it's one that's been off your radar, right? I mean, have you bought it at all since it's been out?
Are we talking this for the... I haven't bought it at all, but I've read an issue or two somehow. I think it was during Night of the Owls. I had like a crossover book or something on that.
Okay. Well, it doesn't have to be that book. But I'm just saying, the next time you go to the shop, look for some weird DC book. You don't have to do anything crazy like Legion of Superheroes or anything like that. But a book that you're like,
Is this for the special feature? Is what we're talking here?
Something down the road.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm going to pick. It just has to hit you when you're in the shop. You know, every once in a while there's something
that hits you.
That jumps out at you. But it has to be...
I'm scared because it might be something that looks really bad, so I pick it up. Because I do that. I'm kind of self-torture. Like, oh, this looks terrible. Let's read this.
That's okay.
It'll be fine after a night of recovery or something.
My problem is I've read so much of the New 52. I haven't read it all, but I've read a lot of it. So I tried a lot out. Let's just say that. When it came out, I was so excited about it. I tried a little bit of not everything, but, you know, there's a lot of canceled books. Obviously, I can't try. I mean, Mr. Terrific's not still going. Which is really weird. I thought that would last for 600 issues. Can you imagine? Mr. Terrific lasted like 100 issues. I'm the third smartest man in the world. Awesome.
That's pretty good when the other two are tied up or dead.
I really actually liked Mr. Terrific before the reboot. He was an interesting character to me.
The only time I liked him was I met this nice gentleman who was cosplaying him in Baltimore.
Huh.
I liked him then because it was a nice guy.
Did he have the floating balls around him?
No, but his jacket was awesome.
Was it?
It was terrific. It's a terrific jacket. It was stupid. I don't know.
Who's the second smartest man in the world?
In DC?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a jumble there.
Isn't Lex Luthor the first?
I say that about Marvel. I can pick them in Marvel. I can go through the, like, pretty much the smartest to the dumbest. But in DC, it's hard because everybody's kind of smart in DC. They're all that or smarky.
Smarky.
think, oh, I'm, you know, look at Flash even. Oh, I'm a forensic scientist. oh.
That's true. Nobody has, like, a normal job.
I'm a king in Atlantis.
Yeah. Why can't there be a superhero that has a job as like a janitor?
Even their guy who shoots arrows. Oh,
I'm
in charge of an industry or something. So yeah. Why not?
DC, let's have a normal job.
Give us some dumb people, DC.
Just a normal job. Like, if you're a superhero, why do you want to stress yourself out with a 40-hour-a-week stressful job on top of being a superhero?
I'm trying to think, because, you know, you got Grundy on the villain side of things, but, I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, dumb heroes.
I don't think there are any. They all do, like, they're all, like, doctors or cops or
there's
gotta lawyers.
Be okay, it could be argued, and this is bad, because I'm... It could be argued that Guy Gardner is dumb. Because he's just in this he's just a cop.
Is he still a cop?
I mean,
is he still a cop on the side?
He makes bad choices. He was. They kicked him off the force.
Okay. Yeah. See, superheroes should not have jobs.
You remember issue zero? You remember they kicked him off the force or whatever?
Yeah. They don't have. Do you think honestly? I mean, I know we're talking about comic books. Do you think honestly, superheroes have time for jobs?
They should. They should pay taxes.
They would never get to sleep, ever.
I don't care what they pay. Saving buildings.
I mean, Batman's got enough money to fund the entire Justice League. These people should not be working outside of Justice League. They should be sleeping.
Even the butlers of DC are smart. Look at Alfred. He's a smart dude.
He's like a detective.
He's a smart guy. Oh, it's bad.
That's another thing that bothers me. Just off topic here. The fact that Alfred still hangs around as a butler, like, and still, like, feeds Bruce and takes care of him. I would think that at some point Bruce would be like, you know what, you're too smart to be doing this type of stuff. Not that a butler is dumb, but he plays a really integral role. Does he still have to make Batman's tea?
Who's or can do they it? Not Batman's get somebody? Batman's not going to do it. He'd die.
Somebody else to do
it. He don't want to get takeout.
No, he doesn't.
He'd die.
But hire somebody else.
That would be that'd be hilarious.
What? Batman decides to get his own food.
like Batman forgets to eat and dies. Because Alfred's not around.
He totally would.
He'd be like, I forgot to eat. Oh, no. He just passes out. This has went way crazy.
Yeah.
This show has went... sorry, folks.
But well,
that's
we're
what
over
happens
time
when Matt's
here.
Or anyone's around me. It just devolves.
And we're hitting our mark, so we'll say goodbye. But before we go, be sure to check out StashMyComics.com. Energy.
Well, yeah.
By geeks.
Well, there's geeks that work there
geeks
that have energy.
Yes.
Those guys are awesome.
A great site to catalog your comic book collection. And there's an awesome forum and an incredible amount of reviews by users and by people, you know, on the staff. People like you and me, we can do reviews. Yeah, written reviews.
Do a review.
And we would also like to thank our local comic book store, B&D Comics.
I love them.
B&D Comics.
The most fantastical log cabin this side of Mars.
Yep.
I don't know what's on the other side.
My favorite place to go. It goes B&D Comics, Toys R Us, and then I like Books a Million for something.
Mine's like Chipotle, B&D Comics, then back to Chipotle. Although B&D is my favorite, that's just kind of the order. And then maybe, maybe some Starbucks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then I'm dead.
And if you, if you guys want to hit us up, any questions or anything like that, be sure to go on the forums. You know, you can find us on iTunes. If you go to iTunes in the little search bar and you type in Ape, the number 4 comics, you can find our podcast. It's under Stash My Comics. You can also go to the front page of StashMyComics.com and play our podcast right there also. And you can go to our website, ApeForComics.com. And you can email us, info@ApeForComics.com. Hit us up. Got any questions? Or if you want to just tell us how great you think we are, or maybe not that at all. Be kind. All
right. Cyclops was right.
Cyclops was right. And we have the t-shirts to prove it. Y'all have a good rest of the week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, bye
bye.
Bye.
Thank you.